Psalm 139, the very first verse. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. But there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Skip down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the leadership and the guidance of your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would touch each one of these families today that are gathered in your house, for those who listen by way of internet, by way of radio. God, I pray for families today that are not able to be here because of sickness or bereavement. Lord, we ask your hand of mercy be upon each and every need. Father, your work, your faithfulness is too wonderful for me to even fathom. But I ask your blessing upon each one. Now lead us in truth today and help us to preach. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it's interesting. He said in the very first verse, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And then he says in verse 23, I want you to search me again. You know, the heart's an amazing thing. The average heartbeat is around probably 75 beats per minute. That's 40 million times a year that your heart beats. If you live to 70 years old, that's 2.75 billion times that your heart beats. There's a lady in the community, her name was Aunt Sarah. She was 99 years old. That's a lot of heartbeats. Her pastor was 36 years old and came to see Aunt Sarah. And at the end of that birthday party, he said, Aunt Sarah, I hope to see you next year. Make your 100th birthday. And she looked at him and said, son, you look pretty healthy. I don't know why you wouldn't make it. Did you know with each beat of the heart, the average adult heart discharges about 4 ounces of blood with each beat? That amounts to 3,000 gallons a day, or 650,000 gallons a year, which is enough to fill 81 tank cars of about 8,000 gallons each. Do you realize that the heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift a 150-pound man to the top of a three-story building? Did you know your heart produces in 12 hours enough energy to lift a 65-ton tank car 1 foot off the ground? Did you know that your heart produces enough energy in 70 years that it could lift the largest battleship afloat completely out of the water? Your heart, God started causing it to beat. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet did you know that for over 68 million Americans, they have one or more forms of heart and blood vessel disease? Did you know that 45.3% of deaths was due to heart disease in our country? Did you know that one-fifth of those, or about 20% of those, were for people who are under the age of 65? Did you know it's estimated that 1.5 million Americans this year will have a heart attack? And about 500,000 of them will die on the spot? Do you understand that most of this has caused America to become health or heart conscious? And they're doing things that are necessary to reduce the risk of heart attack. Now, one of the ways that you get tested for this is what they call an EKG, which is an electrocardiogram. An EKG is where the electrodes are attached to the extremities and the left chest area to pick up electrical currents from the heart muscle contractions. These currents are registered in wave patterns on light-sensitive film. Deviations in normal height, form, or duration of the wave patterns indicate specific disorders. While there is much attention given to physical conditions of the heart, when you look in the Bible, God has a lot to say about the spiritual condition of your heart. There are several heart conditions that are described in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So this morning, I want to preach on this thought. David wrote about it in Psalm 139, "Search me. Want you to know my heart." David says, "Lord, I want you to give me a spiritual EKG." So I'm going to ask you this morning in this heart health conscious world, if you would with me take a spiritual EKG from the Word of God. We're going to hook ourselves up to the Scripture, and it will reveal the condition of your heart. And we're going to find out, aren't we, if there be any spiritual disorders in your heart. David, our writer, was a man after God's own heart. He said in Psalm 26:2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Let's get on the great physician's examination table. And Preacher Ronnie is going to be our patient. We're going to hook him to the Word of God. So I promise you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we hook ourselves, our arms, our legs, you know, up around our chest area and close to our heart, when we hook that to the Word of God, it will reveal a spiritual disorder, whether there be one present or not. Don't you want to know whether you're sick or not? I mean, there's some of you are wondering all the time, what's in me? What's going on? You're constantly in a panic, going to the doctor. I know something's wrong with me. I just know something's wrong with me. But when you come to church and the preacher preaches to you, you look at me like, ain't nothing wrong with me. What we're going to do is we're going to find out if Brother Ronnie has a convicted heart, if he has a converted heart, does he have a committed heart, does he have a clean heart. We're going to look at some patience in the Word of God. You know, another good test we could give you is a stress test. Right? I guarantee you by the time I finish preaching this message today, there'll be a lot of stress going on. Are you ready for our spiritual EKG? First of all, this morning, I want to look over in the book of Exodus. I want to look at chapter number 7 and verse number 14. Exodus 7:14, the scripture says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go." Number one, Pharaoh had a stubborn heart. At least 15 times in the Word of God it is said of Pharaoh that he had a hard heart. Look, we've seen in verse 14, look at verse 22. "And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said." Chapter 8, verse 15. "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Verse 19. "And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Verse 32. "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." Chapter 9, verse 7. "And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." I could go on and on. 15 times, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Do you have a stubborn heart? No, preacher, I'm not stubborn, and I'm not stubborn about admitting it. Are you calloused to the gospel preaching? Are you callous to the wooing of the Holy Ghost and the leadership He gives daily in your life? What if the doctor said to you, "Son, you've got 3 blockages, and we're going to have to do triple bypass. Do you argue with him? Do you say, I'm right, Doc, and you're wrong? Do you go in there and say, I had no idea I was even sick. I feel just fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I feel just fine. And they're about to keel over. How many times have I preached the word of God from this pulpit to people who said to yourself, I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. And you've got a stubborn heart and will not get an agreement or an alignment with what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Maybe the doctor says you need a spiritual stent. You know why? You've got a blockage in your heart. You've been choked down with the cares and the pleasures of this life. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm talking to somebody that has got a spiritual blockage. And the Lord says, I'm going to stent that thing or you're going to die. You may say, I disagree. A stubborn heart is a sinful heart. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You realize sometimes people do not know their real condition until it's too late. I want to give you two of these. Turn, please, to the book of John, chapter number 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being now ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Where did the devil enter into? Into the heart of Judas Iscariot. What about the book of Acts chapter 5? We meet a man by the name of Ananias. Look with me. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Both of these gentlemen, the devil got their heart. I believe that Pharaoh continued to harden his heart and rejected God. I'm sure that anyone that stubborns their heart against God and will not woo to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost will sentence their own soul to a devil's hell. Yet you may be here today and you're saved. And now stubbornness has crept into you as you've gotten a little older in life. The second one I see is found in 1 Kings chapter number 11. We've seen a stubborn heart. I want you to see the next one about a king by the name of Solomon. The Bible tells us he was a man that loved the Lord, offered him great sacrifices, and he served the Lord many days. But look at chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites. You realize he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Lord God. He once possessed a true heart. But later on in life, his true heart is now a turned heart. He was a man that was once dedicated, but now he is a man that is diverted. Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. It might just be you've been saved a long time. You don't need all that faithfulness and that commitment and stuff. You are saved. Beep, 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 beep. EKG, it reveals you have a swayed heart. You once were true to the things of God, but now there are some things that have caused you to sway in another direction. Don't tell me it's not going on the EKG that you're hooked to. The Word of God tells me that's exactly where you are. You have a swayed heart. Number three, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, just slip over to your right two books, we meet a young man, Uzziah. He was made king at 16 years of age. Uzziah was a man that served the Lord. Chapter 26, verse number 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Verse number 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 16. But when he was strong, in other words, God gave him victories. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. In other words, he got lifted up in pride. He got lifted up in power. And he got the big head. Forgot where he come from. Oh, preacher, dare not. I'd never forget where I come from. Don't make a prideful, arrogant statement like that. Boasting may very well be that you forgot where you come from. In fact, we'll give an altar call. Many of you will stand there and stare at me. But you forgot you got saved at an altar. You forgot you got saved on your knees. You forgot it was Jesus Christ who gave everything he had that you might be saved. And you'll sit here like a religious peacock and say, I don't need that stuff. And now I want to say, number three, you have a smug heart. The Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Preacher, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. The only person he could go to that altar was the man of God, whom God allowed to come in once a year. And Uzziah said, listen, I don't need the man of God. I don't respect his office. I don't respect his calling. I'm just going to go in there myself and I'm going to offer. Listen, I'm going to offer. I'm going to do. I don't need him praying for me. I don't need him teaching me. I don't need his old-fashioned religion. I don't need that stuff. I'll just go take care of it myself. And let me tell you something. God smote him with leprosy because of the pride of his heart. You can sit here and you can act professional and polished all you want to. But I'm promising you, God says the EKG results, there is smugness in your heart and it's going to be dealt with today. And if you don't get right with me, I'm going to put something on you to humble you down. I believe a smug heart is a selfish heart. He got lifted up in self. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we meet a young lady by the name of Hannah. She's married a man by the name of Elkanah. He's got another wife. Her name is Peninnah. He's married to both of them at the same time. Houston, we have a problem. And Peninnah could have children. But Hannah, who is that second wife, was barren. And if you're barren, it's considered the reproach of God. And her heart was broken. But Elkanah loved Hannah. In fact, he gave to her a double portion of what he would give his wife Peninnah. He gave double to Hannah. But when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Her heart was grieved. She had a suffering heart. We know that out of that burden, out of that grieving that she had, she came, she called on the Lord, and the Lord blessed her to have a son by the name of Samuel. And she gave that boy, she dedicated him to the service of the Lord God Almighty. And he became one of the greatest prophets in all the history of Israel. He was born out of a burden. You may be here today and say, preacher, I don't know why I can't even smile at you. Preacher, I don't know what's going on with me. I'll tell you what it is. The EKG result says you have a suffering heart. You're grieving. You're hurting. You're not in a place today that God cannot diagnose your condition. He loves you. And he knows about your very needs. He hears the beating of your heart, the cry of your soul. Call on the name of the Lord. He'll help you today. He and he alone understands the sorrow and the bitterness and the reproach of your heart. No greater friend will you ever have than the lowly Jesus. Hallelujah. So God understands our suffering hearts. The book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2, and in verse number 2, we understand that there's been some men come to visit Nehemiah. He dwells in the palace. He's the cupbearer of the king. And they've shared with him the condition of the people back home in his hometown. And I want you to know that the people are in a state of despair. There's great affliction. And the word means misery. And he was burdened, the Bible says in Nehemiah 2:2, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Are you hearing me this morning? Preacher, what does this mean? Nehemiah is the cupbearer. That means if somebody's going to poison the king, he has to taste test everything the king drinks. Everything goes through Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was always a smiling individual. He was an encourager. But you can tell that day when he came before the king that he was sad. And he probably reached that king something for him to drink. Can you see it as he pours it? He taste tests it. He goes over to the king with a sorrowful countenance and hands it to him. And the king says, oh, wait a minute. I'm not drinking that. Something's wrong with you. I mean, are they trying to poison me? You've always come to me happy and said, oh, king, live forever. This is wonderful. Try this. This is great stuff. But today you had a heavy heart. You had a sorrowful heart. He looked at him and he said, why? Look, he said, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And Nehemiah was burdened heavily about the despair of his people when he heard about their condition. Are you concerned about your children, your grandchildren, the state of our nation, the state of our churches? A state of despair. Not only despair, but disgrace. He found out the very walls of the city and the doors of the city, the gates of the city had been destroyed. And it broke his heart to the point of tears. God knows about your sorrowful heart. He knows why you cry. He knows the state of despair and disgrace that our nation and our churches are in. But he's looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and see God's face and pray and intercede. Nehemiah was a man that a vision was born out of a burden. And the king sent him back home and blessed him with all the provisions to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. I want to say to you that all was born from a burden. You hook up to the EKG machine today and you're not sick. You're sorrowful. Maybe there's a state of sin in your life. I want to tell you what sin should bring: sorrow. The people of God had sinned. And that's why judgment had come and Nehemiah's heart was sorrowful. Oh, God help that the Lord would see and reveal to us the results of our EKG. Last of all, we're done. Psalm 34, verse number 18. The Lord is nigh
unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's a submissive heart. Someone who's willing to say, God, you just be God. You be my Lord. You be my Savior. And Lord, as your servant, it is my pleasure to do your will. Not my will, your will. And I submit to your leadership. And I submit to your authority. And I submit myself. You read my spiritual EKG, Lord, and whatever it says I need, do it. If I need triple bypass and I've messed up in three of these areas, take care of it, Lord. If I need a spiritual stent, take care of it, Lord. You've been so good to me. I just want to serve you. In closing this morning, I want to ask this question. What does your spiritual EKG reveal about you? David said, Lord, you've searched me. Search me again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What does the great physician, what does your EKG reveal about you? You hook to the Word of God, and it will not lie. You're not what you say you are. You're not what you think you are. You're not what you want everybody else to think about you. How many times I think about my grandpa. We rolled his body in front of that pulpit and preached his funeral. And it was my privilege to say that he was faithful to the very last drop. He was committed to the cause of Christ. Boy, Grandpa started right and he finished right. What can be said about you? What is your priorities? What is important to you and to your family? Sir, your wife knows. Your wife knows what's important to you. Your husband knows what's important to you. Your children know what's important to you. I wonder, does this church know what's important to their pastor? Does this pastor know what's important to this church? You stand at your feet.